Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter. And we're here with the bye-bye Wink episode. That's right. New York Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale is gone. Officially, it's a mutual parting of ways. He gets to leave, go anywhere he wants without restrictions. The Giants, meanwhile, get off on the $3 million he was owed for next season. But that's simplifying the whole situation. Did not go down that easily. So we'll lay out the timeline here. Then we'll get into some of the details in the back and forth on what really happened with Talking Giants' Bobby Skinner. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, let's go over the timeline. The Giants win on Sunday. Perhaps their best game of the season. Easily their best game of the season. Defensively, they shut out the Eagles until late in the third quarter. Offensively, their best performance of the season, except for maybe the second half in Arizona, which, by the way, that seems like decades ago at this point. Decades ago. That's was like another season with another team, with Daniel Jones. So anyway, the Giants win. They finish the season 6-11. We know Wink Martindale's unhappy. Been saying that for weeks. He doesn't get along well with Brian Daboll. He wants out. The Giants know this. So that takes us to Monday morning. Monday morning, the Giants have an 8:30 a.m. press conference, which for them raises a little your eyebrows a little bit. 8:30 a.m. They usually don't do stuff that early for press conferences and stuff. So I even asked about it. Like, why are we doing this stuff? Why are we doing this early? You know, I live an hour away, so obviously I got to leave in the 6 a.m. hour. It's pretty early. So I'm curious. Maybe it's because Joe Shane and Brian Daboll have to do exit interviews. Maybe it's because Joe Shane is going to go to the national championship game later in the afternoon. Turns out to be neither of those. Turns out that the Giants fire Thomas McGahey, special teams coach. Their units weren't good. Knew that was coming. And it deserved and expected in a way. They fire Bobby Johnson, the offensive line coach, close to Daboll, but the offensive line speaks for itself. Needed to happen, okay? But that's it. Those are the only other personnel moves as of Monday morning in the press conference. So Brian Daboll and Joe Shane get up to the podium and they say, our expectation, keyword, expectation, is that Wink Martindale and Mike Kafka, grouped them together, makes you think, hey, things might not be so rosy and peachy. Remember, I told you that last week with Mike Kafka as well. Our expectation is that they say, hey, by the way, my first question. Hey, by the way, have you spoken to Wink and Kafka about this? No. We haven't spoken to them about it yet. Oh, so your expectation is they stay, but do they want to stay? That's the question. Now, clearly the answer with Wink Martindale is no. The Giants know this, right? They know kind of what's going on behind the scenes. They view it as what they've seen as insubordination, which is fine. And if somebody's insubordinate and you're the head coach, you're the GM, you're in charge, it's within your right. You could get rid of them. So their way to go about this is, hey, we don't want to necessarily fire him. Then Wink has all the cards in his hands. He could do whatever he wants. He gets paid if he wants. And he goes somewhere else. He could actually get paid like $50,000. And the $3 million he's owed, the rest of it, the $2.5 million, we'd have to pay. Which, by the way, like, you know, when Joe Judge, that's what's going on with Joe Judge now, right? Joe Judge was in New England. Still, wherever Joe Judge goes next year, too, the Giants still have to pay him his salary. And whatever team he goes to, they don't really have to pay him a real salary. They pay him, the minimum that they're allowed, essentially, or a small salary. And the Giants are forced to still pay the remainder. So the Giants get proactive. They say, all right, here's what we're going to do. After this press conference, when we say we expect Wink to be back and Mike Kafka, they go and fire Wink's two right-hand men. Talking about Drew Wilkins, the outside linebackers coach, his brother Kevin, who's the inside linebackers coach, his title is defensive assistant, right? Shrapnel and all this, that's what they are, okay? The Giants have their concerns about Drew Wilkins and Wink. Think they're kind of doing their own thing. Fine. Daboll, also, from what I heard, super paranoid about, you know, the story that came out from Jay Glazer, you know, pointing out people who he thinks are the Lynx, you know, has his eyes on the Wilkins brothers. There you go. Now, Wink Martindale, obviously, does not take this well. Storms in, curses out Dable, leaves. I've heard that part. I can confirm that part. Yeah, it didn't go well. There you go. All right? So he's pissed, right? He wanted out in the first place, and now he just fired his two right-hand guys, you know, his two closest confidants. His right-hand man is Drew Wilkins, so maybe, you know, his two closest confidants. And you kind of see where this is headed. Giants are trying to push him out the door. Wink disappears. Turns, you know, says, I'm just going to go home, relax, take a few minutes, think about everything. Giants, in the meantime, unloaded the clip. Saw a New York Post story that came out. We all know what that was. Okay, they kind of, you know, kicked Wink out the door, basically. We know it's ending at that point. It was over anyway the second they fired Kevin and Drew Wilkins. You know, publicly they're saying the right things. Yeah, we still want him back, they say Tuesday morning. Okay, come on. We all know that's not true. They have to say it, though. Don't begrudge him. They have to say it, right? Because they want to make it look like they want, you know, that they didn't fire him. They want Wink to resign, which is kind of what came out after the whole, you know, storming in and hearing about Kevin and Drew Wilkins. So there we stand. They're in a standoff. Somebody had told me this, said, you know, look, John Mara's not going to want all these negative headlines. He's no way he's going to let them drag this out and fight Wink Martindale. You want to see, could you imagine John Mara's results if Wink went nuke on the organization and they held him hostage and wouldn't let him out? So eventually, Wednesday afternoon, we get the news that Wink Martindale and the Giants have mutually parted ways. Giants don't have to pay him the final year in his contract, $3 million. The Wink gets free to go anywhere. No restrictions. So that's perfect. I mean, that's what Wink Martindale wanted anyway, right? Because he's going to get paid from a new team anyway. Trust me, he's got to have another team quickly, right? Remember, just think, I was over at the Rams after the Rams loss because our Rams reporter wasn't at the game, so I had to go to the Rams press conference and locker room after the game. And I heard Sean McVay talk about the Giants that game. He might have said Wink Martindale's name and raved about him in the post-game press conference five times. And I'm thinking to myself, man, he is really complimentary of Wink Martindale here. Make me scratch my head a little bit. Okay, Raheem Morris, his defensive coordinator, is up for head coaching jobs. You see that right now. Sean McVay obviously knew that Raheem Morris probably was going to get some looks for defensive coordinator jobs and was sort of greasing the skids for the possibility that Wink was going to shake free. So these are the kind of things that were going on behind the scenes, obviously, in the background. And then you hear the Eagles rave about Wink Martindale. They played him two of the last 3 weeks as well. That's a team that could be looking for a defensive coordinator. The Jacksonville Jaguars makes a lot of sense. Wink would like to be in Florida, I'm sure. He has a home down there. I know it's not Jacksonville, but it's closer to his home for sure. The Eagles are close to his family. The grandkids are in Baltimore area. So he's going to have options. He's going to have a job. He'll recoup that money. Not a big deal. So he doesn't care about the money part of it, right? Yeah, it would be beneficial if they fired him, but he's going to recoup most, if not all, that money. So that's not a big deal. He gets to go. The Giants, meanwhile, they save face a little bit because they buried him on the way out the door, which, by the way, has become a very Giant way a little bit over the past decade, at least since I've been here. You've seen it with pretty much everyone goes out the door. You've seen it with almost every coach, Ben McAdoo, Pat Shermer, Joe Judge. It happened to Mark Ross. It happened even to Justin Pugh. And I've talked to Justin Pugh about that. They basically called him soft going out the door. You know, all the arms of people close to the organization, when they leave, all of a sudden they get this information and they sort of crap on guys out the door, which to me, this leaves a bad taste in my mouth, which is why I always seem to be defending these guys. And I'll probably defend the Giants here and Wink Martindale for that reason, because I hate when that happens and guys get crapped out on at the door. And probably when the time comes, I'll probably be defending Brian Daboll on the flip side when all the dirt starts to come about him after he's gone. Or right after he's gone and everybody turns on him. Because that's essentially what happens. It's kind of like the circle of life covering the Giants. And with Wink Martindale here, kind of happened to him out the door. Now, maybe he deserves some of it. Maybe he was insubordinate. And that's well within Brian Daboll's rights to get rid of him as the coach, as his assistant coach. Absolutely. Absolutely. At the same time, and this is the biggest thing, the Giants are in a worse place because for all this, because they're in year three of this regime. And now, and by the way, they built their personnel defensively for this scheme. You know, they've spent 2 years building up. And I know you could look at the numbers and say, they were 27th. They weren't that great anyway. If you watched with your eyes, and we take away everything, take away names, the Giants' defense was their best unit. It wasn't even close. They had six games where they allowed 20 or less points. By the way, the Cleveland Browns, who have the best defense in the league, you know how many games they had allowing 20 or less points? Six. The same as the Giants, who went 6-11, all right? So their defense was much better than the numbers indicated. It wasn't great. When things went bad, they went bad. When they were good, they were good. But this wasn't a bad unit. It was a unit that was moving in the right direction. So to have to move on now and have a new coordinator where we don't know what the scheme is going to be, we don't know if it can even be similar to the scheme that Wink Martindale ran, it's like starting over on the defensive side is not ideal for the New York Giants. This is not good for anybody. It would have been good for the Giants to have made this work. And to me, that sits on the head coach. The head coach's job is to make these things work, to iron these things out before they get to a point where they're at the point of no return, which is what happened when the report from Jay Glazer came out. That was the point of no return. This needed to be handled. This needed to be addressed well before that. And that's on Brian Daboll. And the fact that, and if it was just one rogue guy, I get it. But there's other people in that coaching staff who are also unhappy, right? We've heard about Mike Kafka not being thrilled with everything that's going on there. I've spoken to other coaches who don't love the way that Brian Daboll goes about his business. So this is a concern for the Giants and the organization moving forward. And Brian Daboll has to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, how do I make this better? Because you can't have that throughout your staff. He does a great job of keeping the players happy, right? But at the same time, you have to keep your staff happy as well. And doesn't appear, he didn't do a good job of that early in his career. He did not do a good job of that. Because there's a handful of guys, at least, that I know of that weren't especially happy with him. It's one thing to yell at guys. It's one thing to scream at guys. It's not just that. It's not just that he's emotional. It's not just that he's the boss and he's yelling at guys, right? There's more to it than that. It's, is he genuine, right? You know, some of the things he does, it seems to have an agenda. These are the things that his coaching staff is thinking about him, right? The personality is just one part of it. Like, you can't, I get it. You want to cater to the players. You want to keep your players happy. You can't, if you're, after everything that went down with Xavier McKinney, then, And all this stuff is going on, by the way, behind the scenes with Wink Martindale. You can't then go and let Xavier McKinney break down the team after a win. It's a shot at your own coaching staff. It's not a good look for a coach. The other coaches are all sitting there looking at it like, yeah, that was, you know, I don't know about that. That doesn't portray leadership to everybody in the room. That portrays pettiness, right? You pick the guy who was feuding with your other coach. Then you non-genuinely gave Wink Martindale the game ball when everything behind the scenes was not good. And all the coaches know it's not good. Yeah, it's like a good F you to Wink. I get it. But you have to be worried about more than just that relationship with Wink. You have to worry about the perception of everybody, all the coaches, everybody on your staff. And those were not good looks inside the building. And he's the head coach. And I still actually think he's actually a pretty good offensive coach. He could be a pretty good coach. But there's clearly some things that need to be fixed and he needs to do differently. Now let's get to the details on, more of the details on what went down with Wink. On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! A Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, let's bring on Bobby Skinner. You know him from Talking Giants. He's been out there this week, very vocal in the blame wink crowd, Bobby. It's almost as if you feel, I get the feeling that your feelings are hurt by everything that went down here. So take me through your thought process and why you have such a problem with the way everything went down.
Well, now that wink is officially gone, my focus now goes to like, okay, how did this start, right? And what are Brian Daboll's issues that led to this? Even if you think wink shouldn't have reacted the way, like, you know, there's got to be something there that led to this, right? It wasn't just difference of agreements on, you know, which coverages that they're using. But basically, I think Wink Martindale, and it's everything has pointed to this, has spent, you know, the better part of half the season doing a like kind of fire me tour, whether it's putting out the Jay Glazer report and just, you know, doing everything he can to not deny any issue there when Daboll, you know, tried to do the pizza thing and trying to get through the season. And then I don't know how much we can read into this because of the change up on the Cowboys story, but Paul Schwartz story basically saying that Daboll went into a defensive meeting room and said, hey, like, does anybody have an issue with me? Like, let's talk about it, and tried to meet with Martindale a couple times privately, and Martindale didn't have any explanation. Is that I feel like Wink kind of did this 8-week, like, hey, you're going to have to fire me tour, you know, did his little 24 Jack Bauer thing on his play sheet. And the Giants kind of like put, you know, played them back by doing the, we expect Wink to be back, and then firing Wilkins later. So basically I don't think Wink made any effort to fix this. Even if they knew they weren't going to be at the par at the end of the season, but to try and get through the season,
let's say he didn't want to fix it though, Bobby. Obviously, that's the thing. He didn't want to fix it.
And that's what bothers me about Wink then.
Why?
Because you had to work together for at least at the bare minimum another half a year.
They did. First of all, we could say whatever we want, and I agree. You know, that it could have been handled differently. There are big egos involved. The bottom line is they actually did pretty well at the end of the year. Like, it didn't affect them during the year. You talk to the players, they were basically shielded from the whole thing as much as you probably can be. And it didn't affect them on the field. They had their best game of the year in week 18. So
yeah,
even
if the players didn't, you know, that bleeds into, you know, Jerome Henderson and Andre Patterson, who aren't Wink guys. And, you know, obviously probably not as much on the offensive side, but, you know, and when the story went out to Glazer, right? Like, everyone takes that serious, right? Let me say
about the Glazer thing. A lot of times, I don't think people really understand this. The way it could have went down, I have no idea how it really went down, right? But Jay Glazer has, a lot of reporters do, eyes and ears all over the place, right? Somebody clearly could have, in the building, could have said to him, yo, they're really, this is, it's getting bad. They hate each other, right? And then I have no idea if this is the way it went down, but I bet on the fact that Jay Glazer probably called Wink, and he probably called Daboll, and they both knew about it beforehand, and they both got their opportunity to say their party, says, hey, I'm going to go on the air with this, you know, give me your side of the story. So I don't understand why it's being looked at as like Wink. First of all, you're saying Wink definitely leaked it, which I don't know to be true.
But I mean, I think everyone has put two and two together that came from a Wink source.
What if somebody just told Jay Glazer, hey, it's really getting really bad here between these two. And then he calls up Wink and says, yo, what's going on?
But all of Wink's actions
post. And then he calls Daboll and says, hey, what's going on?
But all of Wink's actions post that report were, you know, basically like confirming that, yeah, it was true without blatantly saying
and
it's
Daboll's,
true. Doing
and
the
Daboll's is being, you know, basically lying about it and pretending like it's not there, when the reality is that that's kind of why he rubs people the wrong way a lot of time. He's not genuine. Right. And then he goes,
well, not to you guys, obviously.
No, not to everybody else either. That's the thing. It's not us. Forget us. Get the media.
But when you say lied to, who is he lying to?
the public, the fans.
Right. Which, again, like, as much as sometimes we want to hear that stuff, that, I mean, that's what a lot of head coaches do. Not everyone's going to be Joe Judge. Even Joe Judge didn't tell the truth all the time, but Joe Judge is really the only head coach I can remember who was really fully honest for the Giants, or at least was giving answers.
But my point is, you're criticizing Wink here for not lying. Right. He didn't say he hated Daboll, but he didn't say he liked him either. You're criticizing him for not lying and say everything was fine and he liked him, which to me is it's kind of awkward.
Right. But I mean, then you do like I know it sounds silly, but like the 24 Jack Bauer thing and basically, you know, like they letting that know. Right. And where do you think the Jay Glazer report came from? If I had to ask you, like, then you had to give me an answer. Where do you think it came from?
I have no idea. Sometimes these things come from the weirdest people. Could have come from the equipment room. Could have come from the medical room. Could have come from someone.
But not with a Jay Glazer report, though.
No, I'm saying the original tip could have been like anybody. And then, yeah, he calls. I'm sure he talked to Wink. I'm sure he talked to Daboll, both of them.
So let me ask you, because
I'm telling you, and Daboll probably said, you know, I'm not going to say anything about it. We're fine. We're good. We're you know, blah blah blah.
And so I want to like get information out of you, and I know you're having me on your show, but the two things that I would like to ask are, do you think that Wink and Drew Wilkins, maybe Drew Wilkins not leading the way on this, but Wink Martindale had a kind of like, hey, this is my room. I'm not listening to what you're saying. You like kind of like, hey, like kind of had a, you're not in charge of me type of attitude towards Brian Daboll in the second half of the year.
Yeah. I think it's like a, he said, she said, it's like one side says, hey, he just like, they're ignoring Brian Daboll. And the other side is they're saying, you know, Brian Daboll is super self-conscious and he's worried about everybody else and everyone else in the room. And the truth is probably somewhere in between. Right.
And Daboll should be kind of,
and there's two big egos and they're super paranoid, you know, that this person is going to get the credit or this person's going to get the blame. And they're both basically, you know, pointing finger at the other person.
Right. And I don't want my head coach to be the micromanager that Joe Judge was of every single room. But even though Dable's the offensive coach, he should have like some, at least knowing what's, you know, they all watch film together after the games and stuff, but you know, be involved in those other meeting rooms without having to lead, you know, the film studies.
Yeah, I'm sure he's part of it. But the problem is, and I think from talking to people, this is the impression I get. And this is my whole thing about it. And look, I'm not absolving Wink at all, by the way, of blame for the whole way this all went down. You know, I think he's basically just as culpable almost as Daboll. But at the same time, it's not just Wink who's unhappy with him. Right. So that's the problem to me, is we have to sit here, and especially because we're moving forward, like Brian Daboll needs to take a long, hard look in the mirror. He is like, if all three coordinators really kind of wanted to leave in the same offseason, like obviously the approach that he's taking is not right.
Okay. Right? So my next question for you as a two-parter is, what is leading to this? Right. What led to this? Because at the end, like, was it MFing coaches and stuff, which a couple people have, like, when I ask, have said without 100% saying that's the main reason? And is it anywhere near as bad with Kafka that it was to Wink Martindale?
I think with Kafka, it's probably majority that Daboll's kind of suffocating on the offensive side. And he came here to run the offense and call plays. And Daboll got heavily involved earlier this year, right? Took over meetings. And so Kafka's like, shoot, I'm just, you know, kind of guesstimating here. He's probably sitting there in his own head saying, hey, I was in Kansas City. I should be doing this in Kansas City and being, you know, have Andy Reid basically above me and be coaching Patrick Mahomes, right? If this was the setup that I thought I was getting. And then, I don't know, there's things that he does, Joe Judge, Brian Daboll, which I think comes off as non-authentic. Right. And fake to these other guys. Right. That it seems like he's looking out for himself, like going behind Wink's back and, you know, letting Xavier McKinney, right after they had that feud, letting McKinney go and, you know, address the team after they finally won a game and break them down. Right. That's like a little dig at your own assistant coaches. And if that just doesn't go over well between coaches.
Well, can I say this?
You know, with he gives the game ball to Wink knowing, I mean, think about the Giants version, which we all know that was the Paul Schwartz story that came out. Right. the Giants version that came out. There's all this drama that's going on behind the scenes. And then he goes and gives Wink a game ball in the middle of this. Think about how inauthentic that is and how like insulting that is, right? And how much of a shot that is at the other coach. And I think...
But here's
Look, I'm not talking about the Wink part of it. The other coaches see all this also, and they're like, man, this isn't what where you expect from your game, your head coach.
Okay, but here that's another context clue of like Wink being the Glazer, or is like they will give like even if it's as a FU, giving him the game ball. Here's the other thing that really bothered me
about. But as a head coach, isn't your job to sort of make sure it doesn't spread and become worse and to iron it out and to make it work?
Didn't he at least make an effort to like address it?
That's the one part. First of all, like you said, there's certain parts you don't really know anymore. That's the one part. I heard a different side of the story on that, where that there was never really a sit down meeting where they ironed out all their differences. And it was like, there was never really this, you know, it was more like Dable was out there in the background trying to figure out, all right, who leaked it? You know, basically. It wasn't like, okay, let's iron out our differences. Like to me, it's like non-human, and a lot of football guys do this, trust me. I mean, it's been every regime. They just like put their head down and they just go forward with their work. And it's like, no, you should sit down and iron it out and figure it out and say, hey, we either work together or we can't, not just like put your head down and go about your business. And it's just being super awkward knowing you hate each other's guts and never trying to talk it out like in full. He's the head coach. They've had plenty of your conversations. It doesn't make sense that they didn't have that talk.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. Yeah, but you know, I don't want to buy too much into this article, but it does say like Wink really never had an explanation for it. And you know, the Xavier McKinney situation that you brought up. Now, this didn't get as much attention because everyone was mad at McKinney, and rightfully so. What McKinney, you know, did after that game, saying, you know, that we're not being leaded, you know. Not, you know, where the coaches aren't listening to the leaders, and you know, they did talk with McKinney and his answer was pretty dumb. But I mean, Wink, instead of maybe just address, like, you know, the two different styles, Wink can address it. But Wink spent basically 8 minutes straight making Xavier McKinney looking like a fool, right? Which I think McKinney was a fool in that situation. And there was a pattern building with McKinney pointing the finger at others. Don't you think like there was just a lot of self-serving stuff from Wink Martindale? And then you hear that, you know, he possibly didn't want to work next year. So wanted to kind of get fired, collect the $3 million and then maybe come back a year later or just flat out retire. It's just, there's just a pattern of like a lot of self-serving behavior from Wink Martindale when, hey, I understand having beef and stuff, but at the end of the day, you did sign up to work under this head coach. And I'm not going to blame him if, like, hey, they disagreed on a defensive game plan and Wink stuck to his guns. This is my game plan. But all the other stuff in between, it just felt like there was no effort from Wink Martindale to keep everybody together.
Yeah, well, I don't know about keeping everyone together. I think there was no effort for him to want to try and return. Like, it was past the point of no return for him. And that's why probably the report got out the way it did at that point. Like, it was past the point where he ever wanted to return. I mean, from what I've been told and what I heard, it was like he really didn't believe in the program that they had built and Dable and Joe Shane and everything that they were doing, you know, everything from analytics to game planning to the training, you know, the way they went about practicing everything, probably from like top to bottom. And if you don't believe in that, and he's 60, going to be 61 years old, like, you want to leave, right? He wants to get out and be with a team he thought he could win, and he didn't see that being part of the future here. He didn't see how this organization was going to turn around in the next year or two. And so for that, he said, you know, I'm going to be gone after this season. So, yeah, there wasn't an effort. I do agree with you. And there was a lot of egos, but...
And that's where...
And there's a lot of self-serving stuff. The thing is, the head coach is the one that needs to keep that together. And now it's not just Wink who's unhappy. Like, I've spoken to other coaches, you know, and people on both sides of the ball over the past, you know, few months. And like, they kind of have the same impression too. And it's like, that's not a good thing. You got to fix that going forward. And this was kind of the knock on Dable beforehand. I know people keep bringing up Wink in Baltimore. Well, think about how it ended for Brian Dable in Buffalo, right? Remember the text message that's in the Brian Flores stuff from Tim McDonnell that Dable's unhappy with Sean McDermott. Heard things are like rocky with Sean McDermott, whatever, on the way out. So relationships weren't good there. That was always the knock on him for getting a head coaching job. He's a little rough around the edges. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing here. Like, oh, that kind of makes sense. That's kind of what we're seeing here. And I think it's up to him. He has an opportunity to correct this and make it right. At the same point, he might be losing three coordinators in the same offseason, which is like, you basically have to rebuild your whole staff and start over. That's my biggest problem with this whole thing, is that from a Giants perspective, it's not good for the team, for the program, that you now have to restart over on offense in year three.
I agree. I just feel like Wink has more blame in the Dable versus Wink thing. Right now, there can be the Dable issues that bleed into Kafka or who other coaches. But and you know, before, I think I hate to pat myself on the back, but I talked about it on our Talking Giants show on Tuesday, where I felt like the whole narrative was just anti-Dable, like Dable screwed this up. But I think there was a lot of issues by Wink Martindale across along the way. And then he felt like he was just going to get fired, collect his $3 million, either take the year off or go wherever he wants. And
see him say he wanted to get fired, though. So I don't think he cared about that. He knows he's going to get paid elsewhere. But he knew he just wanted to leave. He never said he wanted that he cared about getting fired. He's going to get that money, whether he gets it from the Giants or somebody else.
But he did want to get fired.
Double dipping anyway.
Right. But he did want to get fired.
Why?
You didn't hear any of that? You didn't hear that he wanted to be fired?
No, I didn't. I heard it. I heard the whole time he pretty much wanted to leave.
Get fired so he can kind of have his cake and eat it too. Like
what benefit do you get from getting fired compared to just agreeing to leave like he did?
Well, if he doesn't work this year, he gets his $3 million.
But he's going to work.
He
wants to work.
I hate to do the sourcing on your podcast, but there's a couple of people who told us that he would have been fine taking this year off.
Maybe, but I mean, he did say that once publicly about taking his golf clubs. I believe he said something like that. But
like,
Wink Martindale's going to get a job. I'm telling you, like 95% he's going to get a job. He's going to be getting paid. He's going to be on a new team. He's going to feel better about it. And he who knows how long it lasts and if it goes well, but he's going to have another job. The Giants got their $3 million. I don't even think that was a haggling point. He was just, this is my opinion. I haven't spoken to anyone directly about this. First of all, they did the Drew Wilkins and Kevin Wilkins hiring. They were just shrapnel in this whole thing. I mean, let's be honest. We could sit here and say what we want about the way they did it. They performed at their jobs, but they were fired because they're close to Wink Martindale. And that is the reason that they were fired. And I know people have sort of slandered Drew Wilkins. My experiences with him, the dude is one of the nicest people I've ever encountered in this business.
No, I don't believe the giant insider report about him being the ego the size of the Atlantic. Now, Wink does, and that he could be, some runoff from that and being, linked with Wink.
I think he's just kind of grouped in with Wink because he's Wink's guy.
Yeah. So I don't bet. Now I look at the outside linebacker group and look at their, every single player in that position group having a dip in overall down production. I know Wink or Kayvon got the sacks this year, but those were kind of
never. We've never heard anyone complain about Drew Wilkins, right?
I'm just talking
we've
about
never
the
heard
production.
Anybody complain. All we have heard about is them rave about Kayvon and his growth and his play. Like, I never heard anyone inside the organization complain about it. Now all of a sudden Drew Wilkins is doing a terrible job. It's just hard for me. But look, that was to get Wink to react, and he kind of walked into the booby trap, and he did exactly what they wanted, and they kind of pushed him out. It kind of pushed him out the door.
I agree, but you can look at his position group and look at and like, okay, that's a justified fire. I mean, they had the worst outside linebacker pass rush win rate.
I don't
in the NFL by like a wide
that's
margin.
Not why it happened.
I agree, but at the same,
that's not why that happened. Because okay. Think about it. His brother is literally the assistant inside linebackers coach. The assistant inside linebackers coach became a casualty all of a sudden. That's actually was one of their better positions, and maybe their best position overall this year inside.
Well, you can't fire a guy and keep his brother.
That's what I'm saying. They were just shrapnel and all this, the two of them.
Right. So
all right.
Yeah, where are we at now?
Now, exactly. Where we are now. Are you happy the way it ended?
No, absolutely. I mean, I wanted Wink Martindale. I wanted them to work it out and Wink Martindale to stay, even though once Jay Glaze reported that, we all knew that it was ending that way. We just kind of, from the Giants fan perspective, you hoped it could figure out, because I do think Wink Martindale is a good defensive coordinator. I don't think his defense was as great as people made it out to be. And with, you know, the excuse this year was just, well, the offense was bad. Well, there's horrible offenses in the NFL that their defenses perform better than the Giants. You know, you can even look at Patrick Graham. He had the 31st ranked offense 2 years in a row, was ranked 9th and 23rd, both years higher than Wink Martindale.
Watching their defense, though, tell me you disagree with this. The numbers are a little deceiving, because when they were bad, when they were bad, they were bad. But when they were good, they were good. But when it was bad, it just went awful. So the yardage.
Well, I think their issue was
the
talent.
Yardage numbers are very high, and the games that they lost when they just got blown off the field.
I think their issues were talent.
So Dallas the first time, second time. You think it's talent?
Yeah, I like when people say, well, it's the offense that is the I think it's they needed more talent to be up than the defense. Like, I think that's what kept them from having a good being good on paper and not just looking good on the eye test. Because, I mean, you've seen Wink Martindale have top three defenses 3 years in a row with the Ravens.
Probably a little bit of everything, though.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Probably a little bit of everything in regards to the offense, the talent, and them not playing well at times, because you know, there were games that they played poorly. There's really no way around it. So, but the bottom line is they were the best unit. Now the best unit is without, you know, is going to basically have to start over in some way, shape, or form. Even if they keep Andre Patterson or Jerome Henderson and make
is Jerome Henderson going to stay? Because maybe he might not want to be there either.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, let's just say they give it to them. That's not even a guarantee that they would run that system. You know, like they've been in a bunch of systems. Who says that's the system that they would even want to run? So where would you, what do you want them? What would you want at the
defense? I haven't really even dove into defensive coordinators that they look. Here's what I don't want. I don't want, you know how the Vic Fangio too high defenses, right? And this kind of came a thing where, play too high and play soft. Now, those defenses work great when you have great defensive coordinators working them and you have the right talent up front to be able to do that. But I don't want someone who just lives by that and is like a 96% zone. That's what I really liked about Wink Martindale. Though he does play more man than basically anyone not named Brian Flores in the NFL. Like, you can't play man for 95% of the game. So you're always going to have a diverse game plan on a week-to-week basis, and you're going to be able to throw a lot of change-ups where Patrick Graham, who I really, really liked, his game plan wasn't diverse. What they did is they threw in like five or six tendency breakers a game, and that's where they would get their turnovers. And that's why the Graham defense had so much success, was the interceptions. So just someone who is genuinely willing to work different game plans on a week to week basis, which Graham did a little bit. He changed a lot from year one to year two. So that's what I'm looking for.
I thought they did a lot. They were very diverse.
Wink's
kind of stuck to his system, and I'm going to stick to it no matter what.
Graham kind of wanted to play some man coverage and blitz, and he wasn't ever really committed to it. Like that Broncos game, they tried to do some five-man rushes, and they just couldn't cover, they had no pass rush, really.
You're still sold completely on Brian Daboll as a head coach, though.
No, absolutely not, right? Like, there's issues here. Like you said, they just had to get rid of a defensive coordinator for non-football reasons.
Say yes.
No, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, being a good offensive play caller gives you a higher bar than other coaches, right? Like, where Joe Judge didn't have that bar, like, you know, think about some of the stuff they were able to do with Tommy DeVito, who I think is honestly a horrible quarterback. Tyrod Taylor played some of his best ball of his career. Like, did you know, and Dable pointed it out in that last press conference, like that Rams game was only his second 300-yard game of his career. And then he had 297 yards versus the Eagles. So I think if he's able to get the quarterback that he wants this offseason, I think you'll see this offense become more explosive. I mean, Tyrod Taylor threw the ball 20 plus yards at a higher rate than any Giants quarterback since Eli in 2011. And that's Tyrod Taylor, who's honestly been a more conservative quarterback for his career, right? Like, Tyrod Taylor's always been a low average depth of target, take care of the ball quarterback. With Daboll, they really tried to get explosives, and that's without a very good offense. That's with a bad offensive line, a bad run game, and really no true wide receiver one either. So I think Brian Daboll's offensive prowess gives him a higher floor to survive, even if there's some issues.
So what would you do at quarterback then? Say get him his quarterback. Does that mean draft one in six, trade up?
It depends if they're
Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't know. I'm gonna make up a random name.
No, you can't do Kirk Cousins because of the DJ.
Can't do that.
If the quarterback that they not just a quarterback they think they can get the most out of, a quarterback who they're like, man, we would have taken this guy at three, is there at six, with like if Jaden Daniels, do that. Trading up, I don't know. I hate the idea of trading up. I really do. I hate giving away those draft assets. But hey, if they view the guy they're trading up for as the guy who, you know, they're like, this is the guy we want to coach for the next 15 years and he's going to win MVPs, then do it. But if not, don't just do it for the sake of doing it.
Let's end on this then. What are you looking forward to this offseason, this team?
I mean, the Senior Bowl. I'm really excited to get down there and watch those guys. That's just my favorite trip of the year. I don't know. I'm interested to see this defensive coordinator and the new coaches that he brings in. Like that's priority number one for them. And we really have no inkling on what, does Leslie Frazier want to come be the defensive coordinator of Brian Daboll year three? I don't think that's really where he wants to go, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it's, obviously not his preference. I mean, Leslie Frazier tried to take the year off with the hope of coming back and getting a head coaching job. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think he has an interview with the Chargers, I believe.
Let me finish off with this.
Yeah, go ahead.
You clearly don't like Brian Daboll. Do you think he will get a year four? Or at least the people you talk to don't like
him. No, I wouldn't say that about that. I don't like him. I actually think he's a pretty good coach. I think he's done some things where he's got to make some changes. That's my thing with Brian Daboll. Just talking to other people who deal with him on a regular basis. But I do, because I think my gut tells me that they're going to draft a quarterback, and that's the best thing they could do to give themselves more time.
Do you think they trade up?
Not going to want to get a quarterback, have him groomed in the system, and then switch coordinators and coaches after one year.
Do you think internal pressure of, hey, you got your quarterback when you gave him $160 freaking million dollars, will be enough for them to stick with Daniel Jones and just be like, hey, we picked at six. There was the quarterback that we wanted wasn't there. We put Malik Nabers.
I don't think it's the internal pressure. They decided you can win games and Daniel Jones was a quality quarterback. That's an evaluation that this regime made. Like, we can't not put that on them. We can't just like absolve them from that. Like that is reality. So I do think that they would be fine going forward if, like you said, the quarterback just isn't sitting there or there. It's not within their reach.
Basically, my question is, there will be all systems go to do a trade up if Joe Shane wants that? And do you think that will be shooed away? Like a lot of pressure to not do it? Do you think everyone that matters is on board with doing that?
You can't fully. I do. Because I think you could convince people you can't fully build your organization around a quarterback with Daniel Jones's injury history right now and feel good about it, right? How could you build your organization around a guy with two neck injuries and he's coming off a torn ACL? That's even before we get to the actual quarterback side evaluation. So I think you could sell that to everybody. Say, look, we have to do this. We want to be good long-term. We need a quarterback that we could build around. We can't afford to build around a quarterback with the risks that Daniel Jones comes with at this point. So I do. I think that's a possibility. We're running out of time here, though, Bobby. I appreciate you turning around the interview and basically making an interview of me instead of me interviewing you, though.
Yeah, it's like Step Brothers. Like, how much do you make before taxes?
Not enough. Talking Giants, you can go catch Bobby. How often do you guys do a podcast?
In the off-season, it's
schedule.
In the off-season, it's usually Tuesday and Friday. Right now, with coordinator news and stuff, we'll be a little more play by ear. It usually evens out at Tuesday, Friday in the offseason.
At least 2 days a week, Talking Giants, available on all podcast platforms, YouTube as well. Bobby, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time. It was a fun little debate there.
No doubt. And you are currently in the leader for the Tony Award because you got the Wink contract details. You got the Thomas McGahee firing.
I didn't know if the Wink contract details counted.
No. Yeah, that absolutely counts. Now, it's not like the biggest breaking news of the offseason. And then you fall into the Talking Giants love sets good info on the pod, having me on your pod. By the way, I broke the news that the Falcons would deny the request of the O-line coach. So that could give you some more points if you quote tweet me.
There you go. Absolutely. I will. We will do that. I appreciate your time, Bobby. On to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, thanks to Bobby Skinner right there. We're going to close here with a quick Jordan on the beat. This is where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. First, a little program note. I'll get to a Giants After Dark. I know a bunch of you have sent me questions mostly via Instagram DM. I have them saved. I'll go through them early next week. We'll do a Giants After Dark, keep you updated on everything that's going on with the new defensive coordinator search, some of the new position coach searches, anything else that's going on with this organization. In the meantime, it's a little quick Jordan on the beat. Okay, so the firings go down Monday morning, like I said. Thomas McGahee first, and then Bobby Johnson as well. You know, both of them, I don't know the actual order, but that happens early Monday morning. First thing Monday morning. And so the reason that I broke the Thomas McGahee story is I got there early. I'm pulling into the facility. And I see McGahee walk into his car. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe he's going out to get donuts, coffee, whatever. And then I'm thinking, you know, yeah, probably not. Probably not. Probably just got fired. But you never know. See him actually drive out. Actually drove right back in. Saw somebody that he wanted to say hi to. Gave him a hug. Gave him goodbye. You could tell this wasn't. He went and gave somebody, a longtime member of the organization, a hug. And I'm like, okay, at this point, all right, he definitely fired. At that point, I start making calls, asking around, see if that's what went down. Eventually, I have somebody on good authority, tells me, yeah, he was fired. So I go, I report it, I break that story. So sometimes, like I said, and I tell people this all the time, this is actually the number one thing when they ask me, like, you know, about my job and how to be good at things, being around and being there. Right. If I had showed up, I was probably like 45 minutes early for the press conference. If I had showed up, you know, 1 minute before the press conference, I would have never seen that. Being around, just being there is the number one prerequisite to be half decent as a reporter. If you're there, things will fall into your lap. And so all I did was use my eyes and watch what was going on around me. I literally was walking in the building and saw the coach leave. Like, that's gave me a hint, obviously, that he was fired. And so I'm hugging people. Like, that's confirmation, essentially, that he was fired. Now, still wanted to bring it to somebody else just to make sure that I was interpreting this correctly. And when I did, it took me probably like 15, 20 minutes. There you go. That's how I had a story. So, number one rule to being a good reporter, be there. Always be there. Be there as much as humanly possible, and you'll be better at your job. I tell people that all the time. That's like my basic to when I have to go talk to high school kids, college kids, people who are younger trying to be successful. It seems like the most simple thing, right? All you have to do is work hard and be there, right? You would think, oh, that's easy. Everybody does that. No, you'd be surprised. Not everybody does that. Working hard gives you a distinct advantage in this business because not everybody works hard. Actually, there's a lot of people that don't work hard, that take freebies. And the only thing they get is when somebody just basically hands it to them, you know? So, quick little lesson, a little insight onto how I broke the Thomas McGahee getting fired story. So, aside from that, we have a lot going on with this team. So stay tuned to Breaking Big Blue. There'll be plenty more coming. I'll try to actually increase the frequencies now that we're back in the off season. I'm going to work on my office, try to get back into doing. By working on my office, I mean The sound in my office is bad right now, so I have trouble taping stuff in there because it sounds too like it sounds like I'm in like a gigantic gymnasium. So if I could get this right this offseason, I could do more in there. I could do more video. I could add more YouTube. I could add the podcast to my YouTube channel. I could add some more YouTube videos. So I just have to get the office settled. If anyone has some suggestions, I'll take them. With that, that's the end of this episode of Breaking Big Blue. The bye-bye wink episode is in the books. Giants now are looking for a new defensive coordinator. That's going to be a very big hire here for Brian Daboll as he moves into year three. It's actually Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. They go hand in hand. They're so close. I mean, everything, when I say that, it's Brian Daboll, Joe Shane. That's it. We'll see. Their success is going to be largely contingent on this hire that they make. So stay tuned. You're listening to Breaking Big Blue. As always, like, subscribe, tell your friends. See you next time.